If you'll turn back to the book of Obadiah, we come this morning to the shortest of the minor prophets. It's a book that's only one chapter in length. And we're told in the very first verse that this is the vision of Obadiah. Unlike the majority of the minor prophets, we've no identification in the book as to its date or time frame. That there are several Obadiahs in the Old Testament, but we don't know if this Obadiah is one of the ones mentioned elsewhere. There are, however, several pointers in this prophecy that help us to give it a date. We're told that the people of Judah suffered devastation. We're told that the people of Edom gloated in that devastation. We're told that the people of Judah were carried off. We're told that the Edomites sought to take advantage of that most difficult time. And so we could probably place Obadiah's ministry in the period where the people of Judah were taken into exile into Babylon. So we're looking at about 586 BC. But Obadiah's vision, it is for God's people, but it is primarily speaking about Edom. He's addressing God's people, those who've been carried off into exile, but he's directing their attention to the judgment that God will bring on a proud nation that has laughed at their misfortune, that has sought to take advantage of the devastation, and that has treated God's people in a cruel way. The people of Edom are proud. The people of Edom are wicked. But what might surprise us a little bit is that the people of Edom are closely related to the people of Judah. In fact, that's what Obadiah is saying here, or God is saying here through Obadiah. Look at verse 10. Edom is a brother to Jacob or Judah. So this is more than just a national neighbor. This is more than just a nation that's filled with pride. There's history between these two nations. One nation, however, is outside of the covenant, and the other nation is God's covenant people. And one nation, although closely related, is full of pride and will be judged. The other nation, although hurting, although facing devastation, will be restored, will be helped. Obadiah speaks to these two nations, and he gives a warning to the proud, a warning of judgment on a nation that rejects the covenant of God and his people. But then there's also hope for the oppressed. Those who've been looked down on will be restored. Let's look at this prophecy this morning. And we see, firstly, there's the seed of pride. The seed of pride. This history between Judah and Edom. Not only here where Edom stood back and watched as the people of Judah were being carried off into exile. But Edom has done this before to the people of Judah. This history goes back. Edom had previously raided Judah and had taken captives themselves. You can read about that in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. And even before that, even before Edom had raided Judah, the Edomites had entered into an alliance with the Moabites and Ammonites and had raided Judah's territory during the reign of King Jehoshaphat. But we sang about that in Psalm 83. You can read about it in 2 Chronicles 20. This relationship goes back even further. Edom and Judah have always been at enmity. Edom had refused that the people of Israel should be allowed to walk through their land as they were making their way to the promised land. You can read about that in Numbers 20. But the relationship goes back even further. This strife and enmity has always been there between Edom and Judah. There's always been a wrestling between these two nations. Edom is another name for Esau. Esau and Jacob, the twin brothers in the womb, who were at enmity, who fought and struggled. This relationship goes back. The wrestling and the fighting between these two brothers, it goes back even further. In fact, this wrestling and fighting goes back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. The seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, but the serpent would strike at the heel. And ever since that prophecy in Genesis 3, there have been two nations at war. The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. There's been the family of Jesus Christ, the promised seed, and there's been the family of Satan and his kingdom. And this is played out by Jacob and Esau. And it's seen lived out and played out between Edom and Judah. And we see it today. There are only two nations. There's the one nation which belongs to King Jesus. And there's another nation that's proud. Another nation that's full of pride and wickedness. It's the kingdom of Satan. The division between these two seeds, it stretches through to today. It covers as well the time when Jesus was on earth. When Jesus came to earth, on the throne in Judea was a king called Herod. Herod was an Idumean or an Edomite. And he was at enmity with the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ. And when he learned of the birth of a king, he sought to kill him. He was willing to slaughter thousands of children just so he could get rid of the seed of the woman. Two kingdoms. And that's all there is. The seed of pride. It comes from this kingdom of Satan. That's who the Edomites are in Obadiah. But that's also true for you today if you are not one of Christ's. You belong to that kingdom. The Bible makes it clear. Two kingdoms, two seeds. Either we are in Christ's kingdom, the seed of the woman, the promised Saviour, or we are in this kingdom of pride, this kingdom of wickedness, this kingdom of rebellion. There will always be enmity. There will always be strife. Why is it difficult to be a Christian? Why is it difficult to be a Christian in the workplace? Why is it difficult to be a Christian in your neighborhood? Why are we always facing attack from the world? Why does our government make decisions that it makes? Why are laws being formed the way they are? The answer is because there's only two kingdoms. And either we are in Christ's kingdom or it's the kingdom of Satan. And here Obadiah sets out for us, there are two kingdoms, and we see the seed of pride in Edom. But that then brings us secondly to the sin of pride. The sin of pride. This kingdom of the serpent is a kingdom that's full of pride. Edom here in Obadiah's prophecy, trusted in her defenses, She boasted in her riches and her wisdom. She glorified in herself. And she rejoiced when God's people suffered. Look at verses 3 to 14. Verse 3. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Here were the Edomites. They were walking around and they were saying, who will bring us down? Who can take us down to the ground? Look at us. We're strong and mighty. We have our refuge and our fortress in the lofty hills and in the crags and the clefts of the rock. No one is as strong as we are. That was their claim. They believed that where they lived, it was impregnable. They believed no one could touch them. They were safe. They were surrounded by their own strength. Verse 6. God says, however, that the treasures of Edom will be removed. See, they were boasting in their wealth. They were boasting in their riches, pride in their riches. Not only did they believe they had security, but they believed they had comfort. Look at us. Look at our wealth. Verse 8, where God says he will destroy their understanding, their wise men. Here are people who believed they were wise. They believed they had understanding. They believed that their wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all other generations and all the nations surrounding them. Edom would have been people who looked at Israel and said, you're living in the dark ages. Have you ever heard that phrase used by people today? Speaking about the church. Oh, your wisdom, that's for the dark ages. You're trying to bring us back to the dark. Our wisdom, however, oh, we are so wise. We're so full of understanding. We know tolerance. We know what love is. Can you see the sin of pride in Edom? And believe they could trust in their own strength. They had comfort and ease. They believed that they had wisdom. And then they gloat over the downfall of Judah. Verses 11 and 12. They actually rejoice in the suffering of God's people. And they even contribute to it. They looted Jerusalem in verse 14. They handed over survivors to the Babylonians, or they cut down some of the survivors. They killed the children. Here is a proud nation that feels as though they have no need for a covenant with God. They have no need for a relationship to covenant people. Edom has rebelled. They've rejected the covenant just as Esau did in selling his birthright. They seek to overthrow the seed of the Messiah, the people of God. Sometimes people say, is the Old Testament really relevant? Does it really speak to today? Turn on your news. Read the newspaper. We live in a nation that is like Edom. The sin of pride, it's all around us. Because it's the seed of the serpent. And our nation is proud. It's arrogant. It's self-absorbed. Looks to its own strength. Trusts in its own comfort. Believes it has wisdom. And they walk around with pride. They even use that term, pride. For horrific sins. They walk around in pride saying, no one can touch me. Nothing can move me. It's pride. But as I said, as we were thinking about the seed of pride, if you're outside of Christ, then you're more like Edom than maybe you realize. If you're rejecting Jesus Christ, then you're part of this Edomite kingdom. And it's your pride that God sees. And it's a serious sin. To say, I don't need God. To say, I don't need covenant. To say, I don't need Christ. To say, I would rather do things my own way than God's way. That's pride. That's the sin here of Edom. That's a sin that marks out the seed of the serpent. Here we have the sin of pride. And that brings us, thirdly, to the sentence for pride. The sentence for pride, because God will punish the pride of Edom. Look at verse 15. Verse 15. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. What you have done, it will be done to you. And this prophecy of Obadiah, it's saying, sin will be judged. Pride will be judged. God will judge the wicked. And what he's going to bring down upon the wicked, it is devastating. God's punishment is revealed throughout this short prophecy. Look at verse 2. God says, behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. God says, you think you're great? You think you're powerful? You think you can trust in yourself? Here's how I view you. I view you as small, despised. That's God's view. Look at verse 4. Though you soar like the eagle, though you nest among the stars, God says, I will bring you down. It doesn't matter how great and mighty you think you are in this life. When you stand before God, he brings you down. The proud will be humbled. Those who pillage will be pillaged in verse 5. When a thief comes, Obadiah says in the prophecy, they don't take everything from the house. The thief takes whatever they're going to take, and when they have enough, they leave. He says the same for the person who harvests the grapes. They go in, they take what they need of the grapes, and then they leave the rest. Edom, however, hasn't done that. When they have gone in to pillage, when they have gone in, they've removed everything. This is their pride. And God says, just as you have done, it will be done to you. I will bring judgment. Look at verses 17 and 18. They will be brought low so that the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. They will be made stubble. They shall be devoured. And any remaining will be brought down. The measure that they have used will be used against them. God's judgment on the wicked is complete. His sentence for pride is complete. No sin will be left unpunished, Obadiah says. There will be no secret sin left hidden. There's no escape. They will have to drink the cup of God's wrath. In verse 16. That's a picture of punishment. That drinking continually, swallowing down. And they will be made nothing. It might look for God's people who were taken off into exile. The wicked have triumphed. The proud nation Edom, they have succeeded. We've been made nothing. But God says here, no. That's not the case. The true reality is that the wicked will be brought low. The proud will be brought low. My judgment will be complete. My judgment will be devastating. Let us remind ourselves again that there's only two kingdoms. And we can only be in one of those two kingdoms. Either in the kingdom of Christ or in the kingdom of Satan. The kingdom of pride. And for all in the kingdom of Satan. For all who are like the Edomites. That judgment will be complete. That judgment will be severe. So is there any hope? Well, Obadiah's prophecy, although concerning Edom, it is ultimately for God's people. It's for the people of Judah. This prophecy is for those who have suffered at the hands of proud people. It's for those who feel oppressed by the wicked nations. Here is a prophecy for those who perhaps feel as though there maybe is no hope, that all is lost. And so we see fourthly and lastly here, the Saviour from pride. The Saviour from pride. Verses 17 to 21. God has a promise for Judah. For the kingdom of his people, for Christ's people. This promise, verse 17. On Mount Zion, there will be those who escape. Mount Edom and Mount Esau will be destroyed, but Mount Zion will be saved. The house of Jacob will possess it. Again in verse 21. Mount Zion will rule Mount Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. You see, there is a kingdom coming. There is a full and glorious kingdom. And we're told that those who dwell on Mount Zion, that they will know and they will experience a full restoration. They will experience the blessings of salvation. For the people of Judah, the promise was that they would return to the land. They would gain possession of the land again. The Negev, Shephelah, the land of the Philistines, the land of Ephraim and Samaria, Gilead, the whole land of the Canaanites. The promise is land will be restored. And if you were in exile, if you'd experienced devastation, and if you'd experienced oppression from the proud, then here is hope. Judah will have victory and will rule over Edom. But of course, this prophecy is just a shadow of the real promise. It's a picture of the true promise. Because friends, that true promise is still to come. The new heavens, the new earth. It's the promise of eternity. It's the promise when Christ's people will enter into our eternal inheritance. And we will possess everything. The whole of the new heavens and the new earth are the inheritance of Christ's people. Proud nations might say today, we own everything. We have all the wisdom, all the wealth, all the splendor, all the glory. You can't do anything to us. But who possesses the new heavens and the new earth? Who are the inheritors of the eternal promise? Who rules with Christ? Who will stand before the glorious throne of the everlasting Father? You will. For all in Christ's kingdom. And that's the promise here in Obadiah. There's a Saviour from pride. There is one who has taken the punishment that the proud deserve, that we might be brought into his kingdom. There is one who rules and reigns, who came down to earth and humbled himself, became obedient to death for us, that we might have the punishment that we so deserve for being in the kingdom of Satan, that we might have that punishment placed on Christ, that we might have his righteousness given to us, that we might be lifted up out of the place of pride and brought into his kingdom, to Mount Zion. And yes, the nations might laugh at us. Your family might tease you. It might be difficult in work. We look at our government, we might despair. But what's the reality? The reality is there is a Saviour who has saved us from pride. And there's the promise of full restoration. There's the promise of eternal blessing. There's a promise of security that cannot be taken away. There is a Saviour from pride. Obadiah gives a warning to the proud. Esau grew up with the external privileges of the covenant, and yet he turned his back on it. Esau, we could say, was born into a Christian home. He was taught the scriptures. He had all the benefits of being in covenant community. Yet in pride, he turned his back on it all. The warning for Esau. The warning for Edomites. The warning for those who are proud is realize that judgment is coming. And pride does come before destruction. But there is hope. And that hope is found in Mount Zion. The hope is found in Jesus Christ. And in the seed of the woman. In his kingdom, there is eternal blessing. There is an eternal possession. So let's take this book of Obadiah. And let's look at our nation today through the lens of Obadiah, through the lens of Scripture. Let's remind ourselves where pride leads to. And let's have that realization that there is hope, a sure and certain hope for all who are in Christ's kingdom. And let us also go out with this news. Let us bring the warning. Let us tell people that they too might turn to Mount Zion and find true safety and peace. Amen.